Our faith tradition states that our primary purpose is to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Valley Group honors this tradition by rigorously searching for the finest recovery speakers in the Western Hemisphere so that they can share their experience, strength, and hope with us. Each week, we recognize one of these speakers for their service to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is now time to recognize Valley Group Outstanding Speaker of the Week. You'd think by now I wouldn't. This is a great thing. Okay, the nominee for this category has a sobriety date of January 4, 2012. She has been a secretary at the ABC Group Monday mornings for 6 months. She is a sponsor, and she attends 3 meetings a week. When I asked her what her favorite AA motto is, she said, "Do the next right and indicated thing." So, the moment we've been waiting for all day, I have the envelope, please. Woo! The winner of the Outstanding Speaker of the Week award is Renee M. from Visalia.
I'm a hoarder, so I have all my little stuff that makes me feel safe.
And I'm an alcoholic.
I'm Renee, I'm an alcoholic. And it is really scary up here. I wanted to just start off by welcoming the newcomer. You're the most important person in the room. And 14 days after I started this journey on the 4th of January, I came here to the Creative Center. And 14 days after I got sober was my birthday, January 18th. So I have 10 months and 24 days. And I thank Bill for asking me to do the next right and indicated thing, even though it sucks. Hard. But you are the most important person in the room. And 14 days after the 4th of January, I sat where you sat. And I was still shaky. And I was still coming off my head and not being able to use anything. I'm double screwed up because I have 2 sponsors, one in this fellowship and one in NA. And I listened to this woman, and she eventually became my sponsor through AA. And she looked at me, and she goes, "Well, I guess you didn't think you'd turn 42 years old and be at a meeting on your birthday." I'm like, "No. I had bigger plans. I had other plans. And no offense, but being here was not one of them." With that said, I'm still new. I brought my tissues because an old timer, and there's some people in here that are old timers that were here, well, actually at the Olano Club on January 4th at the 7:15 a.m. meeting, the ABC group, and that's where I found sobriety. There's people in this room who were at that first meeting, and I was pretty jacked up. And I continue to have really jacked up days. It was scary as a newcomer. The reason I brought up the tissues was an old-timer said, "It's like you're starting all over again." And I ran into him not that long ago, and he goes, "Yeah, you're still a baby. You're still..." When I talked to him last week, "You're still 9 months old. You're just learning." And his other thing was, as an alcoholic, you're born with these messed up feelers. Your feelers don't work like normal people. Your feelers get hurt real easily. You want everybody to be your friend. And that's not the world we live in. So I wanted to welcome the newcomer because I'm still new. And lately in this 10 months, I feel all new again, and I haven't spoken a really long time, because these last 2 months, I've been wanting to hear what the people with time have to say. I want to know how you get 33 freaking years with nothing, no drugs, no alcohol, no other addiction, And I'm talking about the old timers who really work a program. They don't just say the same story over and over again. They have new stuff. Some of them cry. Men. Like the ones that first day. I went to that Alano club, and I've shared this before. There's like four other women in the Alano club. And all my life, I thought that was a bar. Whenever I drove by, I was like, I gotta check that one out. Didn't expect it to happen this freaking way. But there was probably like 20 men, and no offense, guys, but some of you were like big, and you know, you've got your work clothes on. Some people look like they're going to an office. It was scary. But like I said, these last 2 months, I listened to what old timers say, and I listened to what the messages that they're providing us, because they've been able to sustain this. And it's still, I still can't put together how you can put decades of clean time together. And then they do the whole cheesy thing that we hear all the time. Well, it's just one day at a time, Renee. All I got today is today, Renee. And I'm like, shut the hell up. Because it can't be that simple. And now in this 9-10 month period, after working some steps, after having two sponsors, it is just today. You know, I said, the next right and indicated thing, and now I'm going off. I made notes and crap. I'm way off on something else. Because they also said, well, don't read from that, because that'll jack it all up, and then God won't be part of it. And I think there's something to that. Today was one of those. I found out another character defect that I have. I knew I was a runner, and I wanted to run from you today. Sure as hell, I wanted to not be here. And if I could have used or drank, well, that would have been the old me. But what did I do? I reverted to a behavior that I know so well. And an old timer, well, kind of, but he's got a lot more time than me. He said, fear is when you say, F everything and run. F everything and run. And that's what I do. I run. Or I cry. And when you cry, you can get out of stuff. Because nobody likes to see a chick cry. Oh, it's okay. Oh, yes. And so today was one of those days. I had a really crappy day at work. And I started pointing out every little crappy, stupid, dumb, I don't believe in that kind of attitude to what was being dished out to me. And I started getting mad. And I haven't been mad in a while. And got a little emotional. Right, turn the tears on. And I'm learning just now that that's one of my mechanisms to escape stuff, along with running. Because the other words out of my mouth were like, screw this, I'm going to quit this job and become a nurse. So I'm grateful that I'm clean and I'm sober, and it slows me down enough to really feel my feelings. That's what's been going on with Renee lately, is let's not think so much about your past and the wasted time you wasted drinking, using, and trying to run away from yourself and others, and stop forecasting where you should be, and start living right here with you, right here in this moment. So, I don't know where that went, but to talk about, you're supposed to kind of talk about who you were, what happened, and where you are today. Some things happen. I am a binge drinker and a binge user. So I can go months, I can go weeks, and I can put my look good on. I can even put my look good on when I'm drunk or using, but most people can tell. Especially my husband. So 10 months, 24 days ago, I realized I had a problem. One of the things, I'll give one drunk, jacked up story. New Year's is coming up, right? New Year's is my day. That is my day to let loose and party as hard as I physically, mentally, possibly can. Because on top of fear and running, I'm a perfectionist, and I'm also It's balls to the walls, or why even do it? And New Year's has been that way for a while. So the last New Year's, before this last one, totally gone out in the desert, freezing cold, doing what we do to numb out, chill out, party harder than the people next to you, because that's important, right? And this is what told me I had a problem. This gal comes up to our campsite, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, who is the little voices, the committee, right? You've learned about the committee in your head. Yeah. And it was like, who does this chick think she is? Why is she coming to our campsite? I'm not saying this out loud. I'm just thinking all this dialogue. I'm like, who the hell is she? Like, she thinks we... And then I start talking to her. I'm like, oh, yeah, what's up? Blah, 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 you know, da, da, da. And I can't figure out who the hell she is. So I put on my little teacher hat, and I'm like, well, I should do the next, you know, nice thing. And so I'm like, hey, my name's Renee. And she comes to grab my hand, and she's like, hi, I'm Yvonne. I'm like, oh, shit. And I saw who it was. It was my best friend who'd been camping with us all week. My husband's laughing because that is still the joke today. Christmas, holidays, people in that campsite with us will be like, hi, my name's Renee. And they all looked at each other like, how in the hell did she know? And I'm telling you, she looked like me, but blonde, and didn't, I mean, I had never hallucinated before, and that was not this last New Year's, but the New Year's before, because, you know, I had to get that last one in. But that was a big wake-up call, because I had never been completely out of my mind. Other things happen. Luckily for me, I didn't drink on the job, but how unfortunate is that for everybody's life that I touched the next day after a binge, right? Because you're not nice and pretty and happy. You're pissed off, angry, and you want to drink or use some more. And so, unfortunately, I had probably a year and a half, 2 years of bad behavior. So what the hell happened? Why'd you do that? Why'd you go from kind of, you know, just partying when it's convenient, major holidays, weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? I had some bad news. And I'm going to get to present real quick. That bad news, what I'm learning now, like I said, living in the now and these last 9-10 months, working some steps, talking to my sponsor, it isn't just this one thing. I think for these first 6-7 months of my sobriety, I kept thinking, it's this one thing that took me out. It's this one thing that got me all pissed off and hurt, and poor me. But now I'm realizing I have a disease of alcoholism. I don't think right. I don't act right. And I'm having to learn how to be right here, now, present, without using. That's a big deal for me. So what happened? I found out I couldn't have children. I've worked with children the last 19 years of my life. That's all I've done. That's most of all of what I've known. I had 3 younger brothers, much younger than me, 12 years, 10 years, 6 years. So you see, I was the built-in babysitter. Diapers, I got to play mommy. It was really fun. And so I finally meet somebody who's my soulmate, which that's the other thing that God pissed me off about is he, you know, my soulmate got to see all this crap that I pulled, which was pretty hideous and ugly. But back to the baby thing, I find out I can't have children. And I stew in it, like an alcoholic does or an addict. I stew in that. It's like a bucket of crap. And I just can't, right? I want to hurt so bad, but then I want to use so bad. And so I started using. I started numbing the pain. In working with children, I started getting even more angry. Because I looked at some of these kids that were being thrown away. The irony of that, having kids come after school and hang out with me and call me mom and want to hang out with me, and I can see they don't have enough food, and I can see they're not dressed enough, and I can see they're being abused. and I've even had to report on that. And in my head, I'm getting so pissed off at God and so pissed off at those parents. The irony part is I would become that. I would become what I hated the most, and that would be a neglectful person. So that was really heavy. Luckily for me, I did find that soulmate. The first time he came to Visalia, he's from down south, and we have this big talk we gotta have. I'm like, I gotta talk to you, and he said he was freaking out the whole drive. Like, he's like, what the hell?
Is she gonna break up with me?
And I had the same thing, because then he bumped it up like, oh, well, I've got to talk to you. And right now I'm acting good, because we all know how we act when we're first dating. We're all nice, pretty, beds made, house is clean. Yeah, it's not like that anymore, sucker. But I'm working on flawful character defect number 9. Along with perfectionism 7, and self-loathing is my big one. But he, you know, and I won't share mine. It was pretty personal. But he said, I need you to know I'm an addict, and I'm in recovery. And I've got, I think it was 4.5 years or 5 years, 6 years. Okay, so anyway, he had a lot of time. But I wasn't even thinking in that whole addict thing. And I'm like, well, what'd you use? You're an addict. You're so naughty. And he's like, mess. Right, because we think that. We like bad boys. Come on now. So he said it was mess. And what's interesting now in sobriety is I'm realizing there's a lot of parallels with us, is that he had 2 years, a year and a half of bad behavior, and so did I. And luckily for both of us, in a program called AA, NA, and a power greater than us, we've gotten through this. We've gotten through this. But he had a powerful question that spun me a little out of control, and he said, hey, Renee, when are you going to be done being pissed off that you can't have kids and you're making everybody miserable? And I was like, F you. Oh. And nobody that loved me till then had told me that crap. I needed that. I needed him to hit me in the face with the reality of what I was doing. And then he started pulling, which I share in other meetings, he started pulling this literature crap, and he started putting stuff all over the house. Right? Because you need an AA meeting schedule in your bathroom. He's sweet, but he's an a-hole. So, my wake-up call, and I'm going to go quickly because I'd much rather talk about program and how you get over this illness, which I only have 10.5 months in the grace of God. So, I could go out tonight. I could go out weeks from now, but I want to get into what saves you. But what woke me up was January 3rd, coming back from that New Year's, and now I see the progression of my disease. Because, see, I could play around with it all those other years. I could go hang out at the party. It's acceptable to get drunk and loaded at a party. It's acceptable to party on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'll just be good Monday through Friday, right? So, totally had a brain fart right there. What was I talking about? January 3rd. Okay, ADD, too, runs in my family. So, don't let anybody teach. But anyway, if you haven't figured that one out yet, they should drug test us. But anyway, you know I'm right. January 3rd, my husband called me. It's 9:30 in the morning, and I've really seen what I can do. Because, see, I've drunk in the morning before to get over the hangover. I've had a Bloody Mary. I've done whatever to get over it. But it's 9:30 and he calls me from Selma and he needs his keys. He needs his keys for work. And it's the first time I've seen myself outside of my body. And I see myself in my fuzzy pink house coat. And I can't get it in me fast enough. Before he called, I was drinking so heavily, I could not numb out fast enough. It couldn't go quick enough. And that's where the whole, like,
I can see why people shoot stuff up. It's quick.
And I couldn't. And it was dripping down my neck. And I saw myself. And I'm like, who the hell is this woman? Who is she? Who is she? And then the call comes. There is a higher power. So I lie, and I'm like, oh, I gotta fix my hair, babe. I gotta get ready. How about lunch? Right. Because by now I've had 4 or 5 beers, and honestly, I can't tell you the number, but I'm pretty sure 4 or 5. And I know I can't drive. And I've pounded them within an hour, probably. And so I drink as much water as possible. I drink as much coffee as possible because I want to sober up, because I don't drink and drive, right? I don't do it. So somehow I end up there mid-morning, and you can do the math. Okay, if I'm leaving in an hour and a half, 2 hours, that's not enough time. I'm a science teacher. Hello? Can't do that. Doesn't work. So somehow I think in my mind I did it all right. I got to Selma. I'm faking him out. I'm lying. Oh, yeah. Oh, Panda Express, yay. So then I'm heading back home, and I'm starting to feel really crappy, because this is the second or third time I've lied to him. The other time was when I told him I wouldn't pull the fire alarm. Anyway, so, yeah, and that was a dry drunk situation. So we do crazy stuff, crazy. And we get on probation, and we get penalties and consequences for our actions. So I lied to him, I went home, and I punished myself, because my first character defect is I hate Renee. I hate her. She's a piece of crap. She can't do anything right. She's a dumb bee. She doesn't know anything. She has no idea. She's an idiot. I go home and I force myself to watch YouTube for 2 hours of all the drunk driver victims. And I gotta tell ya, I know it's funny to you. They're like, ooh. But I watched 2 hours of people killed by us, dead. Babies, prom pictures, grandma and grandpas, whole freaking families, a mom, a dad, and kids. I stopped drinking right then. And that night, Kevin came home and I told him, I have a problem. And I think I'm an alcoholic. Plus, whatever's available, I'll do it. And he said, I know how to help you. Okay, I don't know if I can use that now. He said, I know exactly how to help you. And now I'm going to look at little teacher pants here. SpongeBob teacher pants here. Who am I now? Well, how I got here was a recovering addict. And he taught me your ways. And he taught me your love. Because when I went to the Alano Club on January 4th, I did not have a lot of love for you, because I sure as hell didn't love myself. And today, that is still a theme for Renee to keep working on daily. He said, you need to do 90 meetings in 90 days. And I said, F you. I don't. Are you kidding? No. So he took me to 3 meetings my first day. That's an addict. But anyway, it helped me, because the very next, and the timing of this is just crap, because the next day I was supposed to go on a 3-day trip with my girls. My girlfriends were going to Cambria. Woo! I talked to the oldest person in our group. She was about 58 when this happened, 59, and she said, you know what, Renee, I think we can do 3 days in Cambria and not drink. Again, this was a prayer group that evolved into a drinking group. Drunks were everywhere. And we did. And I karaoke'd with a total random stranger, and I was not drinking. And we had a really good trip. And when I was in Cambria, I went to a meeting. I found a meeting up in Cambria. And this is the book I got from a lady in Cambria. And her name is Kathy. and I have her cell phone, and I have Beth's phone number, because they saw me that second day of not knowing what the hell this program is about, and I don't know anything other than, I want what you have. I don't want to drink anymore. And I don't want to use anymore. And I don't want to use people anymore. And I text her today saying, I'm speaking at this meeting and I'm crapping my pants because I'm scared. And she texted me back and she said, breathe a lot and let God do the work. Let God do the work. So I did 90 meetings. I can't tell you I went to a meeting every single day, but I sure as hell did 90 meetings around that 90-day period, because some days I would go to two, and some days I needed three. And when I was on winter break, and when I was on Easter break, I went to a meeting. And it's kind of hard to catch a meeting before a school day starts, but I sure as shit did it. I made sure I was at that ABC group. And then some people in the room, yeah, I'm looking at you, Tim, said, hey, March, we need a new secretary. Hey, Renee's here. And so I took that commitment because my sponsor said, you usually always say yes to a request. Sometimes it's okay to say no if you feel like you can't handle it and it's going to wig you out or it's going to take you out. Because with us, it could be anything. You could be having a great day and you're going to go drink. Or you could be having or your dad dies, or you have a breakup, or you don't get your paycheck on time. It doesn't take much for you to want to go use or drink. We don't need any excuse. It doesn't even matter. Any excuse will do for us. So I'm not really sure where that was going, but I go to meetings a lot. I go to meetings in this fellowship, and I hit a lot in the NA fellowship. And I got connected with some women, because women need to stay with women. We are very good at what we do. And it is so easy to, no offense, but it's easy to BS a guy. We got a lot of tools we can use. Okay? Mine was crying. Yeah, see the mineral. Sucker. I'm not going to pay attention when she cries tonight. But it is really important to get with women. There's some really strong women in AA and NA, and they text me and they call me. And like I said, I have a sponsor in both problems, in both fellowships. And it's important because now they know if I jack stuff up. Because if I don't call them, they're going to keep calling. And it's hard to pick up a phone. And it was very hard for me to connect to women because I was raised with mostly boys, all brothers. It was very easy. You know, it was fine. And it's just really important because a woman knows what a woman's talking about. She feels this. She understands this. Men do too. It's possible. But anyway, love you, babe. I wanted to get back to the whole, like, irony of hating those parents that were crappy to their kids, because it's very easy to judge, and I'm judgmental, heavy on the mental, but I'm judgmental. And so, yeah, that's proof right there. So, I couldn't have kids, right? Really angry, really sad, really pissed. And then the whole number one, hate myself because I did something wrong. And I journaled about this, and I did a fourth step about this. And it was heavy going into that fourth step because you start reading all the resentments. You know, and then the alcoholic, addict, whatever thing is like, I'm not that bad. I'm all right. I'm a good person. And then you really dig through all your bull crap. Because there's layers. There are layers. It never ends, guys. There's always another layer of crap. And even the old-timers will tell you, another layer has evolved. So, not sure where I was going with that one. Damn it. Can you see the ADD? Yeah. Okay. Well, I was getting back to the whole resenting parents. Good thing I brought these. And the perfectionism of it. I met my soulmate. I was putting on the look good, and things were good, and I wasn't heavy in my disease, because in my mind, I'm thinking, I can have kids with this guy. He's awesome. Awesome. And he had a beautiful stepdaughter. Beautiful. 7 years old. And when it's new, you're pretty excited. Especially a woman that's childless. Childless. And I didn't know yet that I couldn't have children. And so I enjoyed my stepdaughter, Nicolette. I loved it. It was like being mom. I just loved it. Then I realized there wasn't going to be any for me. There wasn't going to be a Renee Jr. And now I'm thinking, thank God. Dodged a bullet there. But I couldn't see it then. And what did I do to Nicolette? I did what those other parents did. I did the minimum. I stopped doing the maximum. The maximum when I met her was unconditional love. Because the story gets worse. Oh, there's a kicker. I started pulling back. I fed her. I clothed her. I helped bathe her. Because now she's around 10. She's becoming a woman. And it's easier for me to pull away from her. I'm not abusing her. I'm still being loving. I'm hugging. But I'm also, when I can, I'm sneaking around to the kitchen to grab another beer or numb out. Because I look at her and I'm like, that's not fair. They get her. I get nothing. I'm really glad that this progression for me was quick and to the point, because Nicolette has taught me the most valuable lessons, and I keep coming back to character defect perfectionism, because that whole I hate myself is because I can't be perfect. I hate myself. I don't like myself because I can't be this. And when you go through your character defects, and a lot of you probably already have, it's mind-blowing. The thing you don't know about Nicolette, and some of you already do, because you've heard my story. Nicolette is far from perfect, and yet she's beautiful. Nicolette has autism, and she has Down syndrome. And when I started going through my pain, I thought, well, that's a pretty lousy, effed up God. Because not only did you get to give her Down syndrome, but you got to give her autism, too. Like a side of fries with a hamburger. And I was really pissed off at God about that. And it's not until recently, working a program and working steps, that I can lay down the teacher hat. And I can not always look for the happy, ooh, I want her to learn something. Oh, she's smiling. Oh, she's happy. But it's during those times when Nicolette has an autistic fit and she is screaming for no reason. Nothing happened. Nobody hurt her. The dog barked. She will scream and cry. The other weird thing, and this, you're going to laugh at this. It's sad, but it's funny because we deal with it all the time. The happy birthday song. Think about it. Go to a restaurant where everybody's having their birthday, and that child is going to scream and cry. We went on a family vacation. I was clean and sober, and we were at this place by the coast. There must have been 8 freaking birthdays. And I don't know if I can make the face this right. Kevin will laugh, but it's like this scary clown. It's like, or taking a crap. I don't know. But it's ear-piercing, and you feel so helpless because all you want to do for this child is make it better, make it perfect, make it just right. And I'm learning now that I can't. I can comfort her, I can love her, and I am fully present for her now. I don't need to go hide. I don't need to go feel bad for myself. And I need to be there for her because Nicolette is the next right and indicated thing. And that was my favorite saying, and it still is. The next right and indicated thing is being there for your child, for your children, for your kids. They miss you. I know she missed me for a year. I checked out for a year. I said, screw this life. Screw it. I'm just going to numb out. I'm just going to make me feel good. And thank God for AA. And thank God for the Lana Club on January 4th and those 20 big hairy men and those four women that were there. Because when I stepped in that room as a newcomer, there was three people that said hi to me, but the most powerful person in there, and he just lost his wife, but she died clean and sober, is I'm sitting there just looking. I'm looking at some of the people in this room. I'm just watching and like... And he turns around, and he's probably got 28 years, white-haired guy, Rick. And he talks about it now. He's like, I turned around and looked at you, and I knew exactly what you were feeling. Your mind was going. And he did this to me. And at first I was like, dude, I'm not crazy. But he did this, and then he mouthed the words. It's going a million miles a second, huh? And I was like, because I'm checking you in the front row, and then I'm seeing why this guy's moving, and that guy's getting up, and I don't know what those two people are doing. And he's like, try to focus. And then he did the thing that every newcomer needs. And if you're new, do the stuff. He did for me what I couldn't do for myself. He reached out his hand and shook his hand and said, hi, I'm Rick. I'm an alcoholic. So... that's my story. I got two sponsors. I go to three meetings a week. I work the steps. I don't like it. I don't. I'm slothful. Slothful's in there too. And, you know, working those steps is important. It's hard work. It's painful. The last two things I was going to say, what?
Oops.
Oh, I need that. That's my 10-month tip. It can slip away that easy. Yeah, ADD is such a bitch. I don't even remember. Last two things, yeah, whatever. Oh, butterfly. I got nothing. Too much alcohol. I don't know. Then it's probably not that important. Oh, I know what it was. Is if you're new, because I'm still new and I'm still learning things, is do those things. Work those steps. You know, I was working a step, and I'll keep it short, but I was working a step, and I'm at the freaking Jamba Juice trying to do this paperwork because my sponsor said, you need to work on your character defects. I was pissed. And I'm working, and I get to number 6 right before perfectionism, right? Kind of ironic, and I lose it at the Jamba Juice. I just, I'm so bad. And then I get in my car. You should not drive like that. And then I call my sponsor and I call my husband, and they're like, where the hell are you? And I'm like, I'm LD, I can't. Where are you? I go, I parked the car. They're like, good, don't drive anymore. And it was powerful because then when I got home and I started working it again, because they were like, you need to finish that. Crying girl, run away, run away. Oh, poor me. I don't want to do this, so I'm going to run, or I'm going to cry so I don't have to do it. That's what we're doing, by the way. But anyway, that's what you need to do. You need to get a sponsor. You need to work the steps. You got to go to meetings. And I pray a lot that I keep doing those things. Because lately, and this was the I remember the second thing. It's a miracle. Lately, it's getting towards the holidays, and I'm going to these NA and AA meetings, and what I'm hearing is old-timers going off. Dead. And that's what I don't understand yet, because I'm new, is how can you go out after 29 years of being clean and sober? How can you go put the syringe in your arm after 16 years? How can you go do like 20 shots and kill yourself when you have 25 years? What makes you do that? And so the reason I'm here tonight is I'm freaked out and I'm scared, because I don't want to go out. And my prayer for you right now is, higher power, nobody goes out tonight. And if you're sitting on a drink or you're sitting on a drug, you need to talk to somebody. That's all I got. I love you. I'm Renee.